everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and today I've got two special guests with me. Now, the first one I have to introduce, and I owe this gentleman two debts of gratitude, and I'm going to explain why I'm telling you these stories first. So many guests on Hammer Down have talked about the value of relationships and what it means to be in the logistics industry and to help each other out. And the first gentleman joining me, I don't even know where to begin. I once tweeted out I was having trouble playing a chord on guitar, and next thing you know, I'm on the phone literally 7 seconds later, and the guy said, no, jam your thumb into the back of the neck. And I'm like, okay, we got it. So I can play an F sharp minor thanks to this guy, gentleman. And the other component of this is he and I were once on a golf team, and he's really good. So when he carried our team to an actual victory, I got to call my dad before he passed away and say, I won a golf tournament. And my dad said, cool, were you the caddy? Which is a pretty accurate assessment of the things. And again, I'm saying this just because it's the relationships in the industry that matter. He is Trey Griggs. And we've met a bunch of times. And when Trey reached out, he said, listen, I'm working on a new thing. I want you to meet this second person. He's a CEO of a company we're starting up together. He's Oliver Jones. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Oliver.
All right. So guys, let's get into it. What is Manifold?
Oh, I like it. You want to do this, Oliver? You want me to?
I could do it. Manifold, in short, is kind of like the Travelocity for spot freight, right? Where we go out to all the different spot portals out there, bring it all into one spot, let you bid on it from that spot, set up automated bidding rules. And that's that.
As you know, a lot of brokers especially have to manage all these customer portals to try to get spot opportunities from their existing customers. They're sending a lot of people to do that. It takes a lot of time. They can't get to all the quotes. They don't even know what they've bid on. There's no visibility into what won and what lost. And carriers have the same situation. They're trying to get spot opportunities from both customer portals and broker portals. So it's a big chaotic mess for them to try to see what's out there and to bid on and actually win a lot of freight and really grow. And so what Oliver and Andrew built when they started Manifold a couple years ago, it's just a way to consolidate all of that into a one-stop shop so you can see all your spot opportunities from your customers. You can bid on the ones that you want. And they just added email parsing as well. So a lot of those customers will send it via email. Those get lost in your inbox. A lot of times they'll send a screenshot, which, you know, is like you have to try to manually parse through that. We can take all of that data, put it all into one load board, one view. You can see all your spot opportunities and bid on them directly right inside the portal, along with some other fun features. But that's the gist of it, is we're taking that chaos of portal management and bringing it into one place and making it super easy.
So I'm going to take a quick step back. We talked about the spot market. What is the spot market? Tell me about, you know, the overall freight industry, understanding that most of our listeners, most of the folks that are checking out the show are probably young in their career, starting out, getting into supply chain. What is the spot market?
So there's two different types of freight out there. There's in the full truckload market, there's like you got your contract freight. These are your, you know, regular contracts with a broker or a shipper where you're going to say, hey, I'm going to do the same load, you know, three times a week for the whole year, right? That's your contract load. And you have a pre-agreed on spot rate. The spot market is the one-off loads, right? So hey, there's a big storm and, you know, a bunch of your existing carriers had to go drop that load. So that load has to go somewhere and that goes to the spot market. Or let's say that, you know, some products really popular. Everyone's wanting mac and cheese. So Kraft's like, hey, I got to go up the production lines. It's above their existing contracts. All that load goes to the spot market. So that's kind of like the very good. And the interesting thing about, like, and Trey brought up the spot market, is everyone has their own portal, right? So Kraft has their own portal for their spot loads. Procter & Gamble has their own load for the spot portals. They're sending emails. All these, you know, there's a lot more fine-tuned solutions for, like, the contract loads being sent. But the spot market is just a mess. It's chaos.
Right. So Oliver, if I paraphrase this, the way to think of it is spot market, or the contract freight is, look, I know these loads are going to be consistent. Yep. I'm going to sign an agreement. You're going to be my trucker, or this is going to be my set of truckers. They're going to handle these consistent lanes. It's going to be consistent volume. Now, that might only be, to your point, one or two loads a week. It might be 20 loads a day. Sure. At the same time, when you've got that extra load, that unexpected load, something went wrong, you basically rely on the spot market to say, oh, hey, let me just go find some extra trucks. We know they're out there. And that's the way to bring it. Is that the way to think about this?
That's the way to think about it.
Well, and right now, Mary, we're seeing a big shift because, you know, contracts were really prevalent for a while. The shippers had control. And now, as you see, if you follow Craig Fuller on X, or if you're a Sonar customer, you're seeing those tender rejections grow up there. I think they're currently at 14%, which is significant. Anything over 10% starts to put things more into the carrier's favor. And with it being in the carrier's favor, they're rejecting loads because they can get better pricing on the spot market. And that forces customers to then take those loads that they originally had a truck for and now put it on the spot market. So there's a ton of opportunity for brokers to win more freight. There's a ton of opportunities for carriers to make more money on their backhauls in particular with the spot market. So right now the opportunity is huge.
And trade backhaul is such a critical component of the spot market, right? Like if you think about it, so if I'm driving a load from Long Beach to Houston, great, I'm in Houston, how do I get back, right? So my shipper may not say take the empty back or take the empty trailer back or whatever. So finding, you know, logging into it, one of these portals to say, oh, I can get paid both ways that I'm driving from California to Houston, Houston back to California is really, really viable. Now, the point about everybody having their own portal is super interesting here. How many portals are you plugging into? You know, is there a vetting process on the back end that Manifold looks around and says, oh, this is a good trucker? Or are you kind of matching credentials with the requirements of the portal?
Well, that's a great question. And Oliver, I'm going to let you answer it in just a second. But this is really important. You talked about with the truckers is right now, most of their processes is to go onto a public load board to try to find a backhaul. And there's a ton of fraud in the industry right now. There's a lot to try to overcome. And you're essentially taking load from somebody that you don't know and you've never met. When you use Manifold, we connect you with your existing customers and their portals so that you're actually able to find those backhauls, maybe from a different customer than the one that you took the head haul with. But you don't know it because there's too many portals to have to manage for your dispatchers to try to get into. And so we're helping trucking companies match their trucks with customer freight on the backhauls much more effectively at better rates and eliminating that chance of fraud because now they're working with existing customers. So it's a really important point, especially for trucking companies when they think about their backhauls, as opposed to going on the public load boards, they could have essentially their own private load board with all their customers' opportunities. That makes a big difference, not only for fraud, but for rate. So with that said, Oliver, go ahead and tell the how-tos of how this all works.
Oh, no, I think you said it really well. So the betting process has already been done, right? So if we're connected to a broker, that broker has already vetted that carrier. The only way that carrier is getting access to that broker is because that broker is hey, we're working with that carrier, as an example. Same thing with shippers. We're not sharing loads with anyone other than those that are supposed to see them.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Love it, man. So what was the genesis for the idea, Oliver? What made you look around and say, you know, consolidating not only public, but private load boards is a fun approach?
So just one thing. We don't actually consolidate public load boards.
Okay.
Kind of like a core part of it. We don't want to do it because, again, there's a lot you can find on there. I think they have a place, but that's not really what we're targeting. And how we came with it, I worked at, I originally got my experience in the logistics industry at Convoy. Started there really early on there. I was engineer number 12. Got to learn all about the industry. During my stint there for about 5 years, I led the automated bidding team. So I led the team that figured out how are we going to go automate all this spot quoting? And that's where I learned of several problems. One is, these are extremely fragmented. All these, we were only working with shipper freight at the time, right? Because we were a broker. So they're extremely fragmented. It was also, I really learned the importance about data quality, right? You go bid on a spot opportunity and it can actually be really hard sometimes to figure out, is this a reefer load? Does this require bulkheads? And that makes all the difference in the world, that data quality, because, if you think you bid on a dry van and you send a dry van to the shipper, you look pretty silly when it's supposed to be a reefer. And so anyways, we just kind of found this problem. I remember I had to go talk to my now co-founder who was leading one of the teams. And I was like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to go do this ourselves? Like, wouldn't that be a great business? I'd pay a lot of money to have someone else figure out all these integrations and figure out all these this load details for us. And eventually when Convoy went bankrupt, I was like, hey, Andrew, do you want to go do that idea that we always talked about? And kind of the rest is history.
Very cool, man. What's the reception been so far? It seems like a no-brainer product that would be really easy to say, hey, if I'm on the shipper broker side, you're going to give, you know, preferred access to the carriers you work with best. That feels like a win. Feels like as a carrier, hey, I can cover my backhaul. I can, you know, play in a spot market that other folks aren't playing in. That's good for them. I mean, am I wrong that this is just win for everybody?
I would say so. The reception has been really, really good. Especially on the carrier, you know, there's a few products out there that are similar to this on the broker market, but there's nothing really similar to this on the carrier side. And so I think there's been a lot of demand from carriers where we go, we're just making their lives easier. And what's cooler is we're also helping carriers automate. So we had this product called Matchatrop, which was actually built in conjunction with one of the our customers. It's something we do a lot of, just like building together. For a number of our carriers, we're now automatically matching their backhauls, kind of like that process that you brought up before where, you know, they have some customer direct shipment going to Los Angeles to Las Vegas. They need to go find that backhaul. Well, we're now automatically booking those backhauls for them. So we get them better rates. They don't have to have a person working it. And, so it's like a win-win on the carrier side too, where we're, you know, saving a lot of time and making more money.
And Mike, I feel actually most qualified to talk about this because when I started working with Oliver and Manifold as a contract consultant, one of the first things I did was I created testimonial content for them. So I was going to customers and recording, you know, their experience and asking them questions. And of course, every testimonial is positive, but I had never met customers so happy to be working with Manifold. And the return that they were getting, I had customers tell me off the record they would pay double what they were paying. It was so worth it. And like, you just don't hear that type of, that type of conversation from customers who are that happy. And so not only has the reception been really good from Oliver's perspective, building the product, sharing it and whatnot, but the customers, as they use it, become even more happy. And we're in the business, we talk about this a lot, we're in the business of turning customers into fans. We want our customers to love it so much that they want to tell people about it and they want to talk about it and they're willing to pay full price or maybe even more because it's providing so much value. And that's our customer obsession over here. So do that. So the reception has been great and we're committed to making sure that the customers stay incredibly happy.
When I hear automation on pricing, I cringe a little, right? Because there's so many variables that go into it. If the cost of diesel jumps a little bit, now I know spot market isn't as bad and, you know, usually contract rate has everything in there. If I'm a carrier and I want to set pricing rules or guidelines or do I get a notification that's like, hey, this one's available on spot. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, you set up pricing, you set pricing guardrails around it. And I think the other really important thing to note here is pricing a spot opportunity especially for a carrier is actually fairly straightforward if you think about it, right? They know their fuel, they know their cost to run that truck. And so when you're thinking of just like, hey, I have a load next week, it's actually a very straightforward setup, right? You hit your finger right on it. The contract pricing is what gets really complicated because you don't know what these price diesel is going to be 6 months from now. You don't know what the market's going to be like 6 months from now. But typically, you're pretty good at predicting next week. And I can say this, at least with my experience at Convoy, you know, one of the reasons why I got into the built Manifold was we always made money in the spot market, right? Contracts would go up and down, be squeezed. I know brokers right now, for example, are really being squeezed on their contract rates with these spot prices going up. This is exactly what you're talking about. But you know where they can guaranteed make money? Go start bidding on spot freight because you do know what you can match that truck for next week likely, right? Like that is a very reasonable prediction to make and therefore you can make money on it. And like, why not go take that to go offset your losses on the contract side?
The other thing that I think is really important is we do offer automated pricing, automated quoting, but we also have manual quoting as well, because, you know, you might not want to start off automating quoting for a customer or a new customer. You want to ease into it a little bit. And so from the platform, you can either manually quote on all those shipments in one location, or you can set up those automated rules and you can have variances of both that you want to quote on certain days, or you don't want to quote certain facilities locations. So there's a lot of parameters there to make sure that you're only quoting on the freight that you actually want when you do set up the automated rules.
Gotcha. Understood. And it's funny, Trey, you mentioned, you know, like picking which DCs you want to work with. That was an early thing I remember about Convoy was sort of that feedback loop that Convoy had built to say, hey, this is a good receiver versus maybe, you know, if you're going to these guys, you should be aware your driver's going to be stuck there for a while. Right. Oliver, I see you laughing at that.
Oh yeah. It's just, there's just so much complexity there. Right. I think that's what's hard about the logistics industry is the complexity, and it's all those edge cases, right? Oh, we don't want to this DC is really difficult to work with. Let's not bid there at all, or let's put a huge premium on it. Some painful memories, but also
like there's some trauma here with this.
As you learn about it, right? The only way you can really appreciate that and the importance of it is to live it.
Yeah, you haven't lived until a driver calls you and says, I've been here for 7 hours and they tell me it's another four. That's the joy in life. Oliver, you mentioned that, you know, you're not unique in this space, but you're taking a very different approach to some of the other companies out there. What would you say makes Manifold unique or different, or what stands out amongst your competitors?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's a couple things. One is, you know, and this is weird coming from an engineer that is like believes in automation, is we actually take a lot of care in building our manual bidding workflows out. You know, a lot of competitors out there kind of went straight to the automated. And this all comes just from my experience. Convoy was like a tech forward brokerage, right? We were VC backed. And it was funny. We started with automated, and then we actually ended up building manual tools because there's something that just the human can do, right? Like the feel of it, the being able to like look at like the nuance of this opportunity, calling up the load planner, you know, at the shipping facility and be like, hey, why I bid on like 5 shipments. Why haven't I won anything? Like, do you not like me? Is it the price? So I think there's this human touch element that you just can't, you can't ignore. And that if you don't include a little of that human touch element and like kind of like keep your thumb on it, automation can just go sideways, right? What happens is, you know, you bid at scale, and then what you're asking yourself is like, why am I not winning, right? What's going on? And you can really quickly like turn on the machine and then just not think about it. And it's not, machine's not working that well for you, right? Because it's missing some important context. So I think that's a really important one. The second one I think that really differentiates us is just a sheer number of integrations, right? We have a lot of experience of building this. We have a lot of experience building this at scale and at a high degree of quality. So whereas like some of our competitors, they have kind of like a set list of integrations that they support, maybe 10, maybe 15. We support hundreds. And the other big differentiator is if we're one of our customers and you're like, hey, I want to go build this new integration, we'll go build it. And typically our turnaround time is weeks, not months, right? And so we just like, again, we have this like, Trey likes to call it, we like to create customer fans. The how we get fans is we have this like insane customer focus, right? We're like, I actually spend most of my time not trying to go new sales, like not trying to go like, that's like, well, I have Trey, you know, I spend most of my time talking to our customers, sitting down with them, like learning their processes, really trying to make sure that our product is top notch and like we're like serving them really well. So I don't think there's a lot of other companies out there, even in like the logistics test space, where their CEO and founder is actually spending time building the product right next to the customers. And by the way, I don't just sit next to the people in the boardroom. I sit next to like the operations folks, like the people that are actually keys on the keyboard. I'm like, I know them all by name. And I'm like, I'm sure she wouldn't mind. Hey, Dana, like, how's it going today? Like, okay. Like, and I'm like right there in the Teams channel, like, oh, that you have a problem with that? Let me go fix it personally. And a lot of people are like, well, how does that scale? And well, I think like, how do I not, as a, especially as like an early stage company, like not have a direct pulse on how the product is working, right? Like that's what makes me happy. Is like, I want to see Dana like actually get true value out of it, not just from a distant get like a marquee phrase, right? Like I'm like, what I obsess about is like, Dana, is this actually working for you? Are you actually, the feature I built for you, is it actually doing what we wanted to do, or are we just checking the box? Anyways, I'm getting over.
No, that, Listen, there's no harm in saying I love my customers. It's a good position to take. So, guys, my final question for every guest on Hammer Down kind of is along the same lines. If you're talking to a newer recent college grad or somebody who's, you know, young in their career and says, I'm thinking about logistics or I'm thinking about supply chain, what's the piece of advice you'd give that kid?
Oh, man. I'll start just by saying jump in with both feet because this is such a great industry. I mean, I kind of fell into the industry. Mike, you kind of know my story. We've talked a little bit. I did door-to-door sales of like office supplies, printers, and a toner and paper and all that kind of stuff. And went to a recruiter who just happened to have a connection with the hiring manager, the inside sales manager at DAT in Portland. And that's how I got in the industry. I had no knowledge really of logistics. Wasn't really planning on getting into logistics. But once I got into it, met the people, met a lot of the different companies that work in the space, and also just understand the value that we bring to the overall society and economy of delivering all these goods. Like it's such a feel good industry that's kind of under the table. It's kind of in the background. People don't really know how their stuff gets to the store, how things get delivered. Once they do, they really appreciate it. And it's just nice being in that industry where you know that like what you're doing is keeping the economy going. And the people I found just are overall tremendous people. There's always, bad eggs in every batch. But overall, just the people here are really the salt of the earth. Truck drivers are just amazing. Just the hard work they do, being away from home. Just getting in that industry, I'd say jump in with both feet, learn as much as you can, and you'll find a spot. You'll find a place that really fits you.
Trey, it's funny. I've got this working theory. Every time I ask somebody, how'd you get into the industry? There's 90% of the time I get one of two answers, and you actually hit one of them. One of them is my dad, my mom, my aunt, my uncle. Somebody was in it and they brought me in, right? Like I'm a legacy. And that's the far number two option. Number one is the words, and you said them, I fell into it. Oliver, what do you tell somebody who's thinking about falling into it?
Yeah, because I fell into it too.
I think it's exactly what Trey said. And then it's having a hump, going in with humility and learning. There is a lot, like you said, there's people that fell into it and there's people that have like multi-generational. And I think like when I go think of humility, I think of like, how do I learn from those multi-generational people or the people that have been in the industry for 30 years, right? Like, I'm coming up at 10 years now of experience, but I still feel like I barely scratched the surface. And so, yeah, I think if you're coming into it, just go into humility and learn from people. Everyone's friendly, so they'll teach you. I think the only time people get frustrated is, if you come into the industry thinking you already know everything, or you know how to do everything better, right?
Yep.
And I would definitely echo what Oliver said, and that is don't be afraid to ask somebody for help. Don't be afraid for somebody's time. Most people in this industry especially are willing to give you 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes just to share the... We're afraid to ask for that time. So I just say, don't be afraid to ask for the time.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Trey. It's funny, Oliver, as we were talking for a second there and about asking the questions and, talking to drivers. There's this perception out there that truck drivers aren't tech savvy. And for years, I've wanted to push back on that. The first people to work remote were truck drivers. The first people to live in a tiny house were truck drivers. I mean, they're realistically trendsetters out there. And it's not that there's not tech savvy, but there's tech particularness, I think is the way I would put it. If you're building for users, and Oliver, I love your point about this, when you reach out to Dana, when you're building for users, if you talk to them along the way, I was at a TMS company and we actually tripled our driver usage with the simplest UI tweak ever. We made the button bigger. It wasn't that drivers didn't want to use their mobile phone. It's that drivers didn't want to take the glove off when they're handing over their phone for POD, right? So if you make the button bigger, all of a sudden, boom, uptick happens. And that was something we heard from three or four drivers. And we said, maybe there's something to this. Let's test it. And all of a sudden, we saw drivers come in and use it more. So I love the point of feedback. Guys, anything else we should touch on? Where do people find out more about Manifold? How do they get in touch?
Yeah, they can find us at getmanifold.ai, getmanifold.ai. We'll also be out on the road a little bit this spring. We'll be at TIA. We're doing a customer prospect event in Chattanooga in a little bit. So we'll be down there with some of them. I think we might be going to 10th Street and Motive potentially in Vegas. Then we'll hit the fall circuit as well. But really connect with us on LinkedIn. And if you want to schedule a demo, just go to getmanifold.ai and click the button.
Oliver Jones, Trey Griggs, appreciate you guys both joining me.